Welcome to This Week in FX PhD, your weekly wrap-up and behind the scenes at fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to This Week at FX PhD. John Montgomery with you, joined always by my friend Mike. How's it going, my friend?
Good, sir.
Since we last chatted, we've both been doing a lot of traveling. How was FMX?
I thought it was really good, yeah. It's pretty dominated by VR, sort of MR type stuff. I don't know if you're across this trend. The VR community don't want us to call it AR, as in augmented reality, because they reckon that's what Google Glass was, and where it moved with your head and didn't stick to the world. They want us to call it MR to differentiate those three. So VR, can't see anything. I've got a complete cover on my face. AR, there's something sitting in front of me, face, but it's tracking to my head because it's attached to my glasses, etc. And MR, and they were just really hard pushing this, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to work. Everyone's kind of used to saying funny. AR.
Everyone's some ownership of it or something, yeah. It sounds like.
Yeah, I think it's
the
just,
same, you know, idea.
Do you remember when podcasting came out? And they're like, you shouldn't call it podcasting because that's to do with the iPod and it's more general than that. You should call it whatever it was. I can't remember what they called it now. And everyone was like, yeah, we're just going to call it podcasting.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, what happens is whatever people use, that's what it will be. But yeah, it seemed like a good presentation. How was the meetup? Did you meet people every night?
We had a meetup I can't remember which night it was, but I'm going to say it was the Monday night. I was a little late, mainly because I got stranded in a Munich beer hall with some of the other lecturers, and I was desperately trying to get back. But it wasn't so much I was stranded there as it was I was stranded in the traffic from there getting back to Stuttgart. But yeah, that was good. And as always, a lot of people stopping us and saying hi. And so we were, you know, very happy to be there.
What was the vibe for the members as how the business is going in Europe right now?
I think it was, I don't know there was any particularly strong overarching kind of opinion. I think everyone was really happy to be at FMX. Everyone agreed that it was a really good thing to be there and it was going to be a good conference. But of course, we were meeting at the beginning of the conference. Of course, I saw a bunch of members throughout the event. But I guess the thing, yeah, we was mainly focused on what we were doing at the conference. And to that end, this, as I say, was dominated by the just quite extraordinary number of presentations, people that were talking about, and companies that were dealing with VR stuff. You know, I mean, like normally you have films presenting, like you have like at least two or three sort of summer blockbusters there. Like the new Avengers was presenting, but that was literally the last thing on the last night, which was quite different to what you've seen in previous years. I mean, you've been there obviously in previous years, yep. Maybe you could comment, but it just felt very... it was good, don't get me wrong, but it was just quite a shift from everyone was saying from the previous years where it was much more a reflection of films that had come out over the summer and were coming out over the summer.
Yeah, it's generally a bit broader. And then, of course, you had the manufacturer sessions. I always enjoy going to the Houdini sessions, the Arnold ones as well, to kind of get some insight into what they're doing. But yeah, I think each year... Well, the VR one, they obviously expanded much more, but they obviously had the focus on one day where they had the VR track. And in the past, they've always done some kind of major track for one of the days. One year, it happened to do with performance capture and previz and motion cap and things like that. But it sounds like, and just simply looking at the program, that obviously with people trying to figure out what VR is, how to get in the hands of people, it did kind of... bleed outside that same day
Was not a, I mean, look, it was in the schedule, but it was much more than was reflected by the schedule. So you'd have a business discussion, right? You'd think, you know, how VFX companies relate to the Hollywood studios. It ended up talking about VR and MR and, you know, new opportunities and stuff to do with that. Like there wasn't, you know, ILM was presenting and ILM started, you know, talking a lot about VR. It's like, it was just everywhere you kind of ran into it. And on the, you know, small kind of exhibitor boothy kind of area, I'm going to say half of those had some kind of VR, AR kind of thing related to them. So, you know, several billion being dropped by Facebook, followed by half a billion by Google, and the fact that you had people talking there from Magic Leap as well as Microsoft's HoloLens and all of the VR interest by the VFX companies, and it just, yeah, really carried the day.
How are people dealing, but what was the feeling? Because it's just, it's such a horrible state we're in right now, distribution-wise. I mean, it just, it's ridiculous, frankly.
Well,
it's, you know, there's, yeah. You know, it's even within the same company, between different models of hardware, you're can't getting stuff. Obviously, the specs were just released for the Oculus Rift, and they're, you know, somewhat hefty. People are complaining that they're heftier than what they'd expect. But, God, it's such a horrible, horrible arena right now for that.
And yet, most of the discussion was not that way biased. So, like, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think you're absolutely right. It's perceptive of you to say so. But the thing is, the discussion that they were having at FMX was, this is a terrific opportunity. It's all being worked out now. So instead of saying it's all being worked out, which means we've got no idea what we're doing, and hence it's a real mess to distribute, they were saying, it's a great time to get in. It's a great time to experiment. It's really easy to experiment. It's really easy to muck around and learn this stuff. No one knows what they're doing, so you could become a rock star because the, you know, it's wide open. And countless people sort of said this felt like 1993 in the VFX industry. So there was a lot of sense of opportunity, a lot of sense that when it was worked out in terms of distribution models, it wouldn't be quite as controlled as, say, the feature film market. And not only that, but that it would become pervasive in many aspects of things that were happening. And so there was a lot of focus on the positive disruptive aspects as opposed to the reality that you're pointing to as to the...
Yeah, similarly, when we're talking about stereo, because that was the same thing with stereo, because it was a mismatch of distribution. We didn't mm-hmm. even have inset televisions at the time when they were developing it for features that you could actually watch it on. At the time in developing stereo techniques. I just feel that this, again, has much longer legs than stereoscopic does, for sure. But I'm curious at what point people can actually start making money.
Yeah,
you know, that to the point of distribution. It's all well and good to have other jobs financing your experimentation. But from the business discussion, what did they feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, there was no doubt that that there was this void of ways of actually making money, that the thought was, right now, it's a good time to be experimenting, but that there was no really good business models.
Any hunches did they have? Like, if, you know, any
well, I think there was a general mood that a lot of stuff would become much more... So because the platforms aren't out yet, then basically you mm-hmm. don't have the stuff coming from HTC, you don't have the stuff from Oculus, it's all at developer kit right now, that you would be surprised if there were strong business models right now, because there just aren't enough headsets out there and there just aren't enough
right.
People doing stuff. So that would be point one. The second point, I think, was that there was no doubt, the gist I got was that VR is a stepping stone to AR/MR. Yeah.
Right, that, for certain.
Because a number of people just pointed out, and I've said this myself, it is very excluding to put on a VR headset and just sit there, you know, and like nobody can see you. And we were out to dinner several times in sort of bigger functions, and somebody would have a VR headset and they'd put it on. And so somebody's just sitting at the table kind of staring up into space and looking behind them. And of course, you just, you know, immediately move your conversation away from that person. They just, you know, are doing their own thing, and you're kind of, it's like talking on a mobile phone times 10.
I would call it even disturbing at times. And in this case, I see, like, my nephews were in town, as you know, recently, and I put a headset on each of them. And there they were, coming to town, visiting me, sitting on their couch, each in their own world.
Yeah.
Completely in their own world. It is incredibly isolating. And I think that's a great point about MR and AR.
Yeah. So I think that was the case. I think there was a big sense of complexity of pulling it off. I mean, there was an interesting panel, and I kind of raised the point that, like, all this experimentation, all of this, you know, great stuff about you can do it and we can do it and we're trying to work it out and stuff. And I asked the question, which I still sort of don't think I got a good answer to, which is, like, who kind of owns this creatively? Because it's all very well saying, oh, everybody can experiment from the post houses to an individual to whatever. But I feel like to have a really strong narrative or a strong story or even a strong, you know, experiential experience, you need to have somebody who's the auteur, somebody who is the kind of creative vision somebody who's in the driving seat. And it felt, and it still does to me, very much like this is a bunch of people all kind of collectively working out how to make it work, not just having a vision. You know, so Web 1.0 was, you know, let's just take what's in a brochure and stick it online. And that worked, but, you know, it wasn't until Web 2.0 that you got the kind of newer models that...
It's like that guy at that VR event that we came with to in Marina Del Rey that we both didn't think was on top of things, but that idea of the live streaming where you just set a camera up.
Yeah.
And you watch, I mean, you know, that's interesting maybe the first time you watch it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the second time depending on the event, right? But yes, it's a much broader, longer term issue, I think. But do you think maybe that some of that has to do with figuring out the tech first so they know what they can deliver for a creative idea?
Yeah, but I mean, it is absolutely that because, you know, you I think, discussed a case of somebody that, you know, tried to do a first-person thing and they had the camera sort of pretty high, which made for an odd experience. And, you know, ILM was discussing the fact that one of the first things they did was this kind of flying thing where they banked into the corners. Well, if you bank into the corners, you just get really sick really fast. And one company did a washing machine simulation where you went into the washing machine and it tumbled. I know. And
the vomit, like the vomit VR experience?
I mean, it was just like, well, these are the sort of funny stories that people do. And it's like, oh my God. And I have to say, we've been, obviously for our course in FX PhD, we've been experimenting here in the office and we've been having fun just producing really interesting things. And it is at that stage that you can take, like we're taking disparity of technologies and putting them together and saying, hang on, what if we hack this and rotate it 90 degrees and then feed it into this other thing and it'll think it's this thing and then we could do this thing. And I put on the headset the other day. It looks like, I swear I had it on for 2 or 3 minutes. I was nauseous, not only for the rest of the day, but the next day when I thought about the previous
day, talk to you.
I felt nauseous again.
I heard you. I felt you getting sick.
I was like,
you.
I'm not
listening to you talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not liking it. And that was extraordinary to me. I mean, just how many hours I suffered for mucking around with hacking stuff. So, you know, is it easy? It's easier to experiment than it was with, say, some other things.
Yeah.
But. Oh my God, yeah, it's wide open. And then there are some other really interesting things that are completely separate to that, like tech. What I always find great about our industry is somebody will say, this is really, really hard. And, you know, like, I'll give you an example. Remember when the Tempmort frozen time thing came out?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, to do that, you needed a rig that had all these cameras synchronized. And we went to a lot of trouble to in literally class one of background in term one of FX PhD. That was what it was on, right? Like, bunch of synced cameras all shooting simultaneously, blah, blah, blah. It's really complicated. They have to have the same timing and you have to get them and stabilize them. And then, you know, you can play them forward and backwards and you've got a frozen moment. And I remember at the same time that was happening, someone just worked out a way of doing it with, you know, one camera, a turntable, a green screen and some wires. And it looked just as good. And they just comped in some popcorn hanging in the air. And that gave the illusion that the thing was frozen in the air, even though most of it was just literally people being still and rotating. And I found that as well at FMX. There were these guys that were just come up with this whole new tech for doing a traditional pipeline that might be Mayer and Arnold, and then taking that and producing what should be only possible with light fill technology. And I just laughed to myself when they did it because it was, I can't remember that Jurassic Park thing at something, one of the original ones. He's like, you know, it's something like life will find a way. Like, you know, somebody will say, well, this is really hard because you need an array of cameras to do this and do that to get the correct response. And then there was that. Paul DeBevic worked out how to do a live action, well, I say live action, a momentary filmed light field by swinging a camera around on the end of a pole, as it were. I mean, it's a sort of motion control pole, but nonetheless, it's just one camera on the end of a pole. Interestingly, with an identical camera on the other end, just as a counterweight, because they needed something that weighed about the same as a camera. And so they went, what weighs the same as a camera? Another camera. but yeah, and so you just... So I do find that to be one of the great parts about our industry. Whenever we have something that comes along that's new and somebody goes, well, this is really, really hard because of you'd have to do this and do this. And somebody sits there and goes, hang on a second. What if I did that, and did that? That'll work. So that is pure joy to me, watching people do that.
Yeah, I think it's been quite a bit of fun. It's interesting, and I think that people in our industry and our members especially, and some of the stuff that we're doing, this VR course and creating some stuff and trying it out and seeing the issues that you run into. I think that we're especially set up in us, in general terms, being professional visual effects artists or people in the industry, to, I think, honestly, generate better quality content too than a lot of the stuff that you see out there. I think that's one of my things I'm finding, is there's a lot of crap out there that you can watch online. Some of the earlier streaming services that are out there, like Colored, there's just so many things with horrible stitching errors, movement that just makes you physically ill, so to speak. You know, I think from my standpoint, and I think others will find this too, as we've done more and more with this, and even with, you know, we talked a lot about the problems with the GoPro rigs, right? And all the problems they have, from shitty, you know, no sensible camera controls, like cameras, rolling shutter, lens aberrations, things like that. The fact is, you can relatively easily get some really interesting, compelling stuff, see what you run into with stitching, and then just use all those kind of many of the same techniques that we've used to actually patch and make things look right, to correct for errors in post, right? You know, you send it through a stitch, and then you take in a new GraphFX and make it look really great, put a nice grade on it, and I'm telling you, it's going to look like the top 10% out there right now compared to what you saw. So, I mean, that's where I'm having fun doing that. I've had some cool locations in the last couple of weeks. Right after you went to FMX, I headed out to Colorado and filmed some cool stuff in the mountains with this old steam engine. I went to the pro bike tour race the other weekend and set up in a really nice location and got that as well. And they both provide really good examples of things that you run into. Because the online, like always, the online tutorials that people do at these companies are really superficial. And if you really want to get the job done right, you really need some of the, the tips and tricks under the hood. And kind of that's what we like doing as part of this course. So it's been a lot of fun for me. You're right, it's really a good time to learn and wait for the next tech and wait for the 18 to, I'm sorry, I don't know why I said 18, the half dozen to dozen new headsets that will be coming out in the next 12 months as well, right?
Yep. Totally with you there. Hey, changing subject, there's been also a slew of really great films appearing since we spoke last, and I think you got to see Mad Max.
I did get to see Mad Max, yes, actually with Peter Webb, who works at Allura down in Melbourne. They did, the sole effects house, or at least the major effects, visual effects house on that, and boy, that was a great ride.
It was great, right? I'm a bit peeved, though. There's this kind of thing going around in the press that there were no visual effects shots in it. And I'm like, are you frigging kidding me? We did it all for real. I'm like, really? Really? So that large kind of citadel thing with the water pouring out the side, that was real?
Have we not been through this before?
It just feels like it's the hip thing to say you did no visual effects. And it's like, nuts?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure where that comes from. It's a need to, I don't know what. I just think it's a little demeaning on the rest of folks.
Do we not remember
how
tacky some model shoots used to look? They looked so fake and hokey. Like, that doesn't look like a boat on a, that looks like a toy in a puddle.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. We have a dear listener, some really good stories coming up on that. We are under an embargo, so I can't talk about it right now. But trust me, when the embargo lifts, we will totally publicize the brilliant work of the hundreds of artists that worked on the darn thing.
That was all done in camera by all those artists. It was enjoyable. It was fun to watch with a couple of Aussies. It was great to see a movie where there was a strong female lead who did some serious ass kicking.
Yeah, because she really only has one arm. Sorry.
I don't know what makes us go there. Yeah. But anyway, it was enjoyable. I have not yet been to see Avengers. Full disclosure, I'm heading off on holiday, and so I've been really busy at work and haven't had time to do that. But I hope to do that before we go. Very much want to see that. How did you like that?
Avengers? That was great, yeah.
Yeah.
We are, as we speak, about to publish a VFX show review of it. And the next one after that on the VFX show will, in fact, be Fury Road. So those two...
Well, speaking about these visual effects, obviously what we do, it's like, what do you think, what's this big backlash about how shitty all the visual effects look? That we there seems to be a slew of stories in the popular weblog, webosphere, whatever it's called, about just talking about how crap visual effects are in films compared to what they used to be. What's do you know where the birthplace of that?
I don't know what it
is.
I mean, I agree that there have been some bad visual effects stuff, but by the same token, there's been bad tons of stuff, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I've just happened to notice in the last month or so, and it's been longer than that, but it seems to be getting this critical mass, and maybe just people feeding off each other. I think it's, again, it's also, I'm sure, due to the large volume of visual effects that are done. They're just all can't be great and amazing. But as I feel on the high end and the major blockbusters, they're incredible. What's being executed, obviously. So I was just curious as your thoughts, where the hell that's coming from.
I don't know.
Snarky.
Yeah, I really don't know. And also this, I feel Jar Jar Binks has a lot to answer for, right? That was the point in time, I think, when they were like, you've done it all with, and then it would be better if a guy had been a suit because his knees wouldn't have been wrong, and there you go, kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm going to blame Jar Jar on this one. But, you know, I just, wow. There is a ton of stuff out there that you could not watch that, I mean, just couldn't watch because it would be so hokey without good visual effects. And so, I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, a reaction to the idealized memory one has. You know, it's like when Coke went away and they got new Coke. Half the problem wasn't that the new Coke was bad. It's just that everyone started fantasizing that old Coke must have been really, really good. God, if only we had the old visual effects. Those were the days. But, I mean, those were the days you had, like, 20 shots, and you'd know it was an effect shot because it would cut to a lock-off.
I think you've done a lot in the retro shows, though, too, is taking a second look at some of those older films as well. And certainly the memory of it doesn't always live up.
I mean, sometimes
The reality of it doesn't. Yeah, sometimes they are, but sometimes...
Sometimes like, it's like, oh, really?
Really?
Yeah, the original Star Wars in the second Empire... Like, you know, when they've got the ice planet and the walkers and stuff, like, they just couldn't get a good key. And so the verticals, when you're inside the ship that's flying around the walkers, the vertical struts that hold the windshield up are semi-transparent, because to key them out would have been worse. And we bought it at the time because we were not so educated and because it was so darn interesting that you're looking at what's going on. But in fact, you know, didn't work, wasn't very good, never get through today. And, like, if we went back to that, there would be outrage. Like, what? This is the worst visual effects ever. So, yeah, I'm sorry. And the other thing that just really pees me more than life itself is...
I knew I could get you off on a rant.
We want to do it for real. Yeah. We really? Because we really think that this guy is the guy that is flying along at, you know, 90 kilometers an hour. He's actually, you know, lost his wife and kids. You know, they're acting, you know? The truck, it isn't moving in this scene. Do you know what I mean? Like, every friggin' sky... Okay, I can't discuss it. But anyway, there's just a whole lot of reasons why I'm outraged by that sentiment. And I see it online and I just think...
Yeah, I think it... Anyway, I don't fall in that category. I fall in the category of, yes, there are some effects that are not all that great out there. But I think also, actually, Mike, one thing that's interesting is I think their discussion in feature film. I think the work that's being done in episodic television is really quite amazing compared to what's been done, you know, turning back the clock. I mean, I think that's an area in which the effects have been really taken to the next level.
And we've seen dramatic improvements. So in that, much good stuff. Though, you know, this has been a bad. This has been a good and a bad week for episodic television, right? Don't agree with what happened in Game of Thrones. Absolutely love to death what happened in the final episode of Mad Men.
I've seen neither yet.
Oh my God, I could have hugged. In fact, he's coming to Sydney.
Is he?
Matt, yeah. Matt Weiner, who's the showrunner. And he's talking here as a, you know, like a writer's festival thing. And I've got tickets. I got tickets the second they came out. And I would be really hard for me not to jump up on the stage and just hug him. So thank you, Matt. I love you, mate. I loved the final episode of Mad Men. Oh my God. Yep. Sheer genius. Yeah, it was so perfectly complete. To me, I don't know why everybody else doesn't necessarily agree. Some people agree, but some people don't. But I just think it's magnificent show that just had acting and stuff played out so well. And as I said, I'm a bit against the gratuitous rapes in Game of Thrones. Not enjoying it. Wasn't in the book. Don't need to put it in. Thanks for playing. But anyway, that's me. But yes. I don't know. It's like Game of Thrones, which, by the way, like, I think it's tons more people actually statistically watched or generally watched Mad Men than Game of Thrones. But I grant you, Game of Thrones is an incredibly interesting show. But it's just like it tests its audience. It's like, well, you like this guy? We're going to kill him off. What? I thought he was the star of the show. No, not so much. And these people that we spent all this time, yep, we're going to kill them next. Yep. And so now I like go, don't like that guy. Whatever you do, don't like that guy. Because if we like him, he'll get killed off. Like, I just, I'm spooked now by liking anyone on Game of Thrones. Good Lord. Anyway, yes, there's a lot of really, really good television out there. Just spectacularly good. And it's attracting really good talent as well. You know what I mean? Like, you need to look at the quality of the directors and the everything else that that are being attracted to that stuff, just to be stunned. And, of course, at the end of the year, we come back to film with new Star Wars. And that certainly... will be hugely interesting to see how that comes out. So, shot on film, so really retro.
I'm always surprised by that. I'm still surprised by that nowadays. But
that it's shot on film.
Yeah,
I mean, I get the idea, right? It needs to sit in, as it were, or blend in with the other films. They want it to be, you know, kind of. But didn't some of the Star Wars stuff get shot digitally?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that blending in with some of the features of that is necessarily a good idea. I would like to see some new ground being broken.
Yeah.
Like story-wise, especially. But yeah, no, I have high hopes for that.
I'm actually holding out quite high hopes that Jurassic World is all right. I'd like that to work.
Myself as well. There was the new trailer, or new for me. I hadn't seen it in a theater before. There was a trailer before the start of Mad Max.
For what?
For Jurassic World.
Right.
It was just, I haven't seen it in the theater. I haven't seen it projected like that before. So I'm quite excited for that. Actually, Jurassic World is one of those films where people are trashing the CGI versus the original. I've seen.
Which is just bollocks, right? Like in the first one, the CGI was what made it. And also the only non-CGI, like when they've got the dino in the first one lying there and it's they're going through its dung to work out what's wrong with it. It does look like exactly what it is, which is like a large sort of rubber thing with a air cannon going up and down, kind of air pump going up and down. So, you know, to claim that it looks crap compared to the first one, it's just is so ignorant. As you're just baiting me now. You're literally just baiting me.
Yeah.
Did they really say that? Are you just making that up?
No,
you've
that's actually one
read
of the.
That? That, oh my god!
No, that's actually
I hate
one
people.
Of the
mic.
That's,
I hate
that's
people.
Actually that's,
that is just that's, outrageous. The internet should be shut down.
Except for FX PhD and FX Guide.
Okay, apart from us.
Yeah, apart from us.
Ignorant idiots.
Yes. So maybe it's better you don't pay attention to that.
Yes. Well, I have a shoot to go to here in Sydney,
okay.
Which we didn't do yesterday because it was raining, that involves lots of interesting things that are going to go into an episode of Background Fundamentals. Having a lot of
Wonderful.
Fun there.
It has a lot of cool stuff coming up in Background. As well, and both the VR courses that we talked about, but also backgrounds. So really great stuff.
We are going to be celebrating ILM quite a lot because we ILM 40 anniversary. It's a big thing, 40. And also on FX Guide TV, we've got a great interview coming out with Joe Leteri about Weta's 20th. So, yeah, it comes out, I think. By the time you listen to this, go and check out FX Guide TV and from FMX and sit down with Joe Leteri. It's really... I had hoped to get it out before now. We've been waiting on some... people promising us imagery and I'm just like, well, one more day. And then today I was like, look, I just can't wait any longer. We're going to publish, so thanks.
No B-roll. Content of the quality of what he's saying will have to be, which I'm sure is great. Okay, well, thanks so much, my friend. And thanks, everyone, for taking the time to listen. One quick thing, as always, we are continually plotting out our courses at FX PhD. Those of you who are regular listeners know that. But this is kind of that hot spot, Mike, in time where we're going to say the go or no go on courses. So if anyone has any suggestions or something they'd like to see that we haven't hit, You know, hit that, what courses would you like to see sticky discussion in the student union, and make your voice be heard, I guess I should say, because it's helpful for us to decide what's in and what is out.
You bet.
That was Heidi Klum, which was really bad.
Was that what that was?
It was really bad. I just didn't set it up well enough.
John, that was what I was watched Heidi Klum. I know Heidi Klum. You are no Heidi Klum.
And thank goodness for that. But anyway, take a moment to post it in the forums.
It'd be quite nice to be business partners with Heidi Klum. No offense or anything, but she is actually quite, you know, quite pleasant. Okay.
Quite pleasant, smart, successful. Yes.
Yes.
And, we'll stop there. But yes, please drop by the forums, post in the forums if there's stuff you'd like to see, and it'll help us decide what we're going to run for the July term.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.